Hello, everybody. I'm host Chris Gasper, and welcome to Season Ticket. It's Friday, December 22nd. Well, the Patriots and Bills have a big rematch on Sunday at Gillette Stadium, so we thought we would go behind enemy lines in Buffalo. Joining us now on his way to the Bills facility is Vic Carucci. He covers the Bills for the Buffalo News. You can also listen to Vic on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Vic, how are you?
Chris, I'm great, and it's great to be with you.
No, we really appreciate you taking the time. Well, the first thing here I want to talk about with the Bills and the Patriots is the Bills getting revenge against Rob Gronkowski for what he did to Tre'Davious White in the first matchup on December 3rd, which was a 23-3 victory by the Patriots up in Orchard Park, New York. Everybody knows what happened there. After an interception by White, Gronk got frustrated. White was down on the ground in a defenseless position, face down on the turf, and Gronk went into him with a forearm elbow. It led to a concussion for White. It led to a suspension for Rob Gronkowski. Initially, White was pretty upset about what Gronkowski did.
The guy did what he wanted to do, man. He is what he did. A dirty shot. So what they make, a dirty player. Simple.
But he since has walked back that opinion, and it seems like the Bills are saying this week, Vic, that the best revenge is a W.
Just getting over it, man, after the game. Well, that week of, you know, it was just still lingering on me. But just as I got no chance to think about it, man, it was childish. But, you know, I got over it, and I'm past that, man. I'm just focusing on winning.
Yeah, that's kind of been the common theme, and Tre'Davious has been part of the choir singing that song of get a W and that's the best revenge. I think there are still lingering hard feelings. How could there not be? And when you hear Tre'Davious talk as he did a couple of days after the incident and said, you know, he could have broken my neck and talked about having a son that he has to care for and was worried about that. Those feelings don't just go away instantly. And there were teammates who still have hard feelings about what happened. But I think, Chris, it would be so off character for the mentality, culture, I know it's an overused word, but I think it applies here, that the rookie head coach Sean McDermott has tried to bring to the team. Discipline and accountability and all the things that run counter to doing things like getting revenge and perhaps getting a penalty. And when you really look at this, and I know we'll talk more about it, but this game, in the grand scheme of things, for the Bills' playoff hopes, means less than the finale at Miami. So if somebody does something stupid, and that's the only word I've got for it, tries to get revenge on Gronkowski, and it results in the same kind of punishment Gronk got, then you're losing that guy potentially for the game that would be more important to their playoff hopes at Miami.
You're right about that, Vic. And what's interesting about this is that I think if this were a different situation, then maybe the Bills would have a better case for going for revenge. But here's a team that's 8-6 in the thick of the playoff hunt, which is unusual for the Bills this time of year. I know the folks that you write for up in Western New York are well aware of the playoff drought, but some of our listeners might not be. The Bills have the longest playoff drought in major North American professional sports. They have not made the playoffs since the 1999 season. The last playoff game they played was the infamous Music City Miracle down in Nashville. So to make the playoffs is a huge accomplishment for the Bills. They have bigger goals than just trying to derail the season of Rob Gronkowski and the Patriots.
They really do, and they really should, because it's been so rare where they are relevant at the end of the year. It's not just a matter of missing the playoffs year after year for 17 seasons, but to be able to talk about, well, in week 17, you might have, first of all, your destiny in your hands, A, or B, you're in a position where if you do get the right help, you're in the postseason. So you don't want to mess with that. And I think that also opens up a wider conversation about the whole approach to this game. Some of the players and the head coach have been asked about, is there any thought that your guys are overlooking the Patriots, looking ahead to Miami because of those implications? And it sounds like a silly notion. And Richie Incognito probably put it best as like, yeah, you know, he had that smirk. It's like, you don't overlook the Patriots. They've won this thing 1,000 times, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, winning this game Sunday could certainly enhance the chances of controlling destiny at Miami. But then how far do you go how much do you extend yourself as a team to make sure that you're fully intact health-wise, et cetera, in week 17?
Yeah, an interesting sort of dilemma there for Coach Sean McDermott and the Bills. One interesting aspect, Vic, of this Rob Gronkowski situation is that Rob is from that area. He's from the Amherst, New York area. He has friends and family up there. So what was the reaction in the Buffalo area when he committed the penalty he did on Tre'Davious White and also when the suspension was one game?
Yeah, I'm going to have to throw a disclaimer out here. You know, I've known Rob for many years and knew him when he was like a junior high school guy, almost actually grammar school, it goes back, but I got to know him better in junior high because he hung around in a circle of friends that included my younger daughter. His older brother, Dan, was in a circle of friends that included my older daughter. And so they went through the whole school systems, only lived a couple of miles from us and, you know, had him at our house for birthdays when the kids were younger and things like that. So I'm going to speak from a very personal perspective. It was painful to see that because he had not had that reputation as a player at all. You know, we could talk about the, quote, goofy persona that has certainly been very beneficial to him, but only because he's a great Hall of Fame caliber football player. But this was something different, and it felt wrong, and it was awkward, and I was awkward for me. You know, I spoke with him afterward about it briefly, you know, and he gave me his reasons for it. I mean, I don't think frustration should ever justify that kind of thing. I know he's had time to think about it, reflect on it. I don't think he wants to have that on him as a, you know, as any kind of attachment to a biography that really a career bio that's been amazing. And you know, and unscientifically have talked with people that I know who are also in the same general circle of the area in which he grew up and so forth. And their reaction too was, you know, this is really unfortunate and kind of sad. But I think by and large, the fact that Tre'Davious, he did suffer a concussion, there's much more talk of what could have been than what did happen, you know, in an awful way. The best scenario is that Tre'Davious played the following week and he's playing Sunday. And hopefully we're back to looking at Gronk as this great football player from the area and rather than anything other than that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't realize you knew him on such a personal level, Vic. And obviously that's interesting because I think a lot of people up there know Rob Gronkowski off the field. And if you've met him off the field, you know he's not that type of guy. And it really was a shocking incident. At the same time, I think he absolutely deserved the punishment. And personally, I feel like he got away light from the NFL. I think it should have been a two-game suspension, and I think it would have been a two-game suspension. One game for the cheap shot, one game for a elbow forearm to the head and neck of a defenseless player, which they're trying to eradicate from the game. I think it would have been two games if the Patriots didn't have the Pittsburgh Steelers as that second game. I think the NFL did not want to determine home field and the AFC on a suspension.
I think that's part of it, Chris. I also would like to think that his clean history, his history of being a guy who does not do that sort of thing. And let's face it, we know the NFL has had its share of players who are sort of repeat offenders. He's not a dirty player. It was an awful thing. And you're right. It probably deserved more than what he got. When I talked with him after the game, it was a very brief conversation. This was after his press conference. You know, his eyes told me, he didn't use these words, but I think his eyes told me, I screwed up. I'm just presuming that on the basis of the look on his face, not based on anything he said directly.
So we've talked a lot about that incident. Let's talk a little bit about this game. Rob Gronkowski, obviously, whatever happened between him and Tre'Davious White, that happened. He hurt Tre'Davious White, but he's hurt the Bills a ton over the years on the field with the way he's played, and that includes the last meeting between these teams when he had 9 catches for 147 yards. How do the Bills plan to exact that revenge on the field legally with a victory by slowing down Rob Gronkowski, which is something they haven't been able to do no matter who's on their defense and who the head coach is on the sideline?
Yeah, and what are we talking about now? 18 catches in his last 2 games, if I've got the math right on that, 300-something yards, right? So, yeah, slowing him down. I mean, the Steelers couldn't figure it out, and the Bills rarely have done anything to even, like you said, slow him down. I think the best thing, though, for the Bills, if they've got any prayer in this game, it's to play four quarters of the kind of defense that they did play for the better part of three quarters, I thought, in that game, particularly the first half. And then the Patriots do what the Patriots always do. They adjusted well, and the Bills did not respond well to those adjustments. But I think they would sign up for keeping Brady from throwing a touchdown pass a second time. What they'd like to do differently, two things, adjust better to the changes that the Pats make offensively, and then B, get some turnovers. Leslie Frazier has been preaching all week to his defense, plus two, you know, get the plus two turnover differential, use that as a benchmark, and you're going to win more games than not. And that's kind of the goal going into this thing is, you know, get turnovers. They got the one from White, but it was inconsequential when the game was out of hand in the fourth quarter. So I think that's what the thinking is.
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to have to get some turnovers to slow down the Patriots. And those numbers you were referencing with Gronk against the Bills, they're outstanding. It's 61 receptions for 960 yards and 11 touchdowns in 12 games against the Buffalo Bills. Those numbers, those are the best numbers in terms of catches, yards, and touchdown receptions he has against any Patriots opponent. All right, we're going to take a brief time out here on Season Ticket. When we come back, we'll have more with Vic Carucci of the Buffalo News. We're going to talk about the Patriots quarterback situation with Tom Brady, but also the Bills quarterback situation with Tyrod Taylor. Stay tuned for that. All right, welcome back. Season Ticket is now available on Spotify, so if you want to listen to us there, just search for us and hit follow. That's all you have to do. It's really easy. Of course, you can still find us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, remember, subscribing is the best way to make sure you get our latest episode as soon as it's available. All right, we're back now with Vic Carucci of the Buffalo News to talk more about this Patriots-Bills game on Sunday. I want to talk about Tom Brady, and you hit on it a little bit before, Vic, when we were talking. The Bills are one of only two teams this year to keep Tom Brady from throwing a touchdown pass. The other one, the Kansas City Chiefs, in the very first game of the season for the Patriots. But we also know that Tom Brady has tortured the Bills over the years. His 27 victories against Buffalo are the most that any quarterback has against a single opponent. What's the attitude sort of in Buffalo when the fans know they have to play Tom Brady and Bill Belichick?
Yeah, it's been one of dread for many years, and it's also been, in that conversation, hope that that at some point they're going to get tired of winning all these games and these Super Bowls and just enjoy themselves post-football and leave the Bills alone and let somebody else have a chance in this division. That's kind of been the mentality. There's been a lot of surrender, but mostly people love to hate the best. And here's the other part of the thing. We talk about the 17-year drought. The Patriot reign has been obviously commensurate with that, right? It's been aligned with this stretch of games or years of futility for Buffalo, while the Patriots have enjoyed all that success.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the two things have been aligned, and I think when you look at it, the biggest dichotomy between the teams is at the quarterback position. And the quarterback position is still a question for the Buffalo Bills. And from the outside, Vic, I look at it and I look at that decision that Sean McDermott made earlier in the year to go to Nathan Peterman for that game against the Los Angeles Chargers, where Peterman threw the five interceptions in the first half. And I see Buffalo's record at 8-6. And that game that they lost, and I know Tyrod Taylor came off the bench and played pretty well, and he's been reinstalled as the starter since then. But that game could be the difference between them making the playoffs or not.
Without question, we're only guessing at what as to whether the outcome would have been different with Taylor rather than Peterman. But I could say with pretty strong confidence, given his track record, Taylor isn't going to have a historically bad first half the way Peterman did throwing those five interceptions. That's not what Taylor does. He may not do enough to win games consistently, but he does not make those kinds of mistakes that a rookie who was ill-prepared to play that game made. That will be something that's going to, I think, stick to Sean McDermott's first season in a negative way. A rookie mistake, whatever you want to call it, it was definitely the kind of blunder that you could look back on and say, okay, did that cost them? Was that a game that they might have won otherwise? Again, the Chargers were dominant in many ways, but that is definitely one of those what might have been games.
And just to bring this back to what we were talking about, sort of the Patriots' dominance over the Bills, looking at it, Vic, I think that Sean McDermott and Bean were influenced by the Patriots in this regard because they know who the quarterback is in their division, and that's the standard of quarterbacking. Obviously, Tyrod Taylor's not up to that standard. They know who they ultimately have to beat to win the division, and I think that influenced his decision in terms of the Chargers game. They know that Tyrod Taylor is not the guy that can help them unseat and usurp the Patriots in the AFC East, so they end up saying, oh, we better take a look at Peterman. I think it just shows you how much the Patriots really influence and affect and intimidate to some degree these other teams and their thinking and how they build their teams and their planning. Because again, I think McDermott and Bean are looking at it and saying, all right, Tyrod's not the guy to be able to dethrone the Patriots. We have to find a guy, and it could end up coming back to bite them where they don't make the playoffs. And when you look at this game, and if they can beat the Patriots, my biggest question for you is, do the Bills have enough on offense? You're talking about an offense that is 29th in the NFL in total offense and dead last in passing offense, only averaging 171.2 yards per game. That's been the Patriots' weakness this year. You can throw the football on them at times. In that last game, I know he got hurt, but Tyrod Taylor was 9 of 18 for 65 yards with a very, very damaging red zone interception to Eric Lee, which to me set the tone for the game. Do the Bills have enough offensively and with the passing game to give the Patriots a game on Sunday?
Yeah, they probably don't, Chris, and I think that's been their story. And yes, you're making a very strong point about what you need to dethrone the perennial champs, and it is more offense. It is an ability to try to match, if not match, certainly complement your defense. If you're not matching what the Pats can do offensively, and that's an extraordinary level that you don't reach if you don't have Tom Brady. So, Tyrod 65, he had a 75-yarder game. These sub-100-yard passing games aren't going to get it done, and a lot of that falls on him. I always believe quarterbacks make the receivers better, but they also don't have much of anything that could be called a receiving core of substance, and that's another problem. But this goes back to your earlier point about having the vision of what it will take to finally topple the Patriots. And that's why they trade away a Sammy Watkins as a receiver. They trade away Ronald Darby as a cornerback. They do those in August. They accumulated picks and of course, now have five in the first three rounds. They gave up the third rounder to get Kelvin Benjamin, who has come here, I think, as somewhat damaged goods with the knee issue that resurfaced in that Charger game. And he's going to need surgery after the season. So they're squeezing whatever they can, if they can get him on the field for these final couple of games, whatever they can. But they clearly, with the accumulation of draft picks for next year, the vision is try to use next year's draft to enhance the QB position, enhance the offense in general. And I think that all goes to your point of thinking about what it takes to beat the Patriots. But short answer, short term, no, I don't think they have that. They have what it takes offensively, Chris.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, Vic. Now, Vic, you're a Hall of Fame voter. There's not a lot of Hall of Fame voters, and it's an interesting process, really. I'm not one. I've never been in the room. It's a very difficult process. But a lot of people here want to know about Ty Law's candidacy for the Hall of Fame and where he fits in to the Hall of Fame discussion. Do you think Ty Law is a Hall of Famer?
I think he has a Hall of Fame body of work that's worthy of the conversation, but I do want to hear more from the advocacy that I know that the Boston area representative, who is Ron Borges, longtime journalist there, is going to bring. And I know he'll do his research and bring, as we all do our research. But when you're the advocate, You got to take it to places that don't necessarily meet the eye in the very thick books of statistics and the other research we do. And my process involves conversations with a lot of former players, coaches, executives, and some who are current, who have been in the league long enough to have a good base of knowledge of a particular candidate, in this case, Ty Law. And what I will tell you without going into too many details is that I feel comfortable if I feel good enough about the conversation, about getting the guy in the room, so to speak, when we get to Minneapolis this year and we have that meeting the morning before the Super Bowl, and that meeting can run as long as 9 hours. He's a guy who I'm eager to hear about and discuss, offer my thoughts, and then see how it kind of goes in the room and what you glean from that. And I try very hard. Now, some years it's impossible to have to go in with the total clean slate because there are certain players that you don't need to have a discussion about. There's the slam dunk guy where the presenter advocate stands up from his or her city and says the name Jerry Rice, you know, Joe Montana, whatever it might be. And then sits down, you know, Tom Brady. I don't even know if you need to say Tom, stand up. And if he's on the ballot, you just look around the room. Yep, we got you. That kind of thing. But that's rare. You know, we know that's rare. But there are players like that who have that kind of sway and cachet. Ty does not have that. So there's going to be a discussion, and I think a good, healthy one.
The last one for you here quickly. Just are the people in Buffalo enjoying the reporting down here about friction between Brady and Bill Belichick related to Brady's personal body coach, Alex Guerrero? I saw you guys had a headline in the Buffalo News saying Brady Belichick breaking up. You guys realize that's not happening, right?
What's the what do we call it, Chris? Clickbait, I think.
Okay. At least you're honest, Vic.
I think the people who run our digital operation, take a look at that and say, oh, come on, Bills fans are going to eat this baby up. Yeah, get this out there. Yeah, I don't think they necessarily have deep thoughts about it, but anything that can cast even the slightest bit of controversial light on the big bad Patriots, sure, they love it in Western New York.
Vic, this was so much fun. We really appreciate you coming on Season Ticket. You're knowledgeable, you're engaging, you're entertaining, and you're funny as well. You had us laughing there at the end about the clickbait. So that is Vic Carucci of the Buffalo News. You can find him on Twitter. He's at Vic Carucci. Also, you can find him on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. And if you want to find his work online, you go to bnblitz.com. Vic, thanks for joining us.
Chris, it was an absolute pleasure.
That's it for this edition of Season Ticket, a production of the Boston Globe and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Every Friday, we like to thank the people who make this podcast possible and put it together. Season Ticket is produced by Steve Safran, Josh Schwartz, Scott Thurston, Joe Sullivan, John Parati, Paul Vikas, Jessica Alpert, Matt Reed, and of course our intern, Brendan Coughlin. Listen, we're going to take Monday off for the Christmas holiday, but we want to wish everybody a happy, healthy, enjoyable, long holiday weekend. Thanks for listening.